Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Talk Radio. Intelligent, organic entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
You're listening to The Late Night Alternative. I'm Catherine Boyle. The phone number is the same as usual, 0344 499 1000. You can ring up about whatever you want. You might just want to check in, have a little chat about everything and nothing. You might want to answer some of the very, very important questions that I've been posing tonight, such as, when have you drunk something, not booze, that you shouldn't have? When have you flashed someone by accident? What was the other one? Hang on, let's find me a bit of paper. Pretended you couldn't do something to get out of doing it, and now you can't go back. And when have you balled something up that you normally find really, really easy? 0344 499 1000. We've got Paolo on the phone, we've got Nigel on the phone, and then it could be you. Let's have a quick word with Paolo. Hey, Paolo. Paolo! He's doing a Caddick. Paolo! Bless him. He does breathe clearly, though, doesn't he? He's got good nostrils. See, if you've ever heard Caddick, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. There's like farting and all sorts going on. But that's a lovely clear pattern you've got there. Oh. It's quite soothing. It's like an Italian Darth Vader. Paolo! Hello, Paolo. Well, that's rude. Hi, Nigel.
Hi. Hello.
Hello. I'm glad you're conscious.
Hi, Catherine.
Hey.
Hi, Catherine. I mean, I was just checking the chips in the oven, and you can still hear me. That's amazing.
It's amazing. How are your chips?
They're not even gone dark coloured yet. What? So I suppose I've got to turn the oven up a bit. What's wrong?
Yeah, not too much. You keep an eye on them, though. I don't want to burn your chips. Nothing's that important.
They're not even nowhere near done yet at the moment.
What are you going for? Crinkle cut, skinny chips, big fat ones?
Crinkle cut oven chips, yeah, crinkle cut ones.
You know how to live.
I think the signal's better in the kitchen, isn't it?
I think you sound clear as a bell, but it might be the signal. Yeah. It might be the chips.
No, but I'm sure it's better out in the kitchen than it was over by the window in the front room. You're lower down. I'm sitting lower down, I think.
Yeah, well, you're sounding lovely.
Yeah, Ian's night off tonight then.
Yeah, he's had a night off because he's got some other business to attend to, but he'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah. I've still got that bit of a flu bug, you know, a bunged up nose, mm-hmm. and a sore throat. It doesn't seem to go away, does it, sometimes?
Sometimes it takes a while, but it's going to get warmer, yeah. So hopefully, you know, get out, get a bit more fresh air, although you are a very active man.
I do get lots of fresh air.
Exactly.
I think the more I breathe on the cycling, the worse it gets with breathing too much air in, you know. But
I've never heard that one before.
It makes my nose run more.
Well, it will do. But then, you know, if your nose is running, it means that it's not stuck in your nose, so...
It's clearing, yeah.
Yeah.
But when you get in the central heating, it gets worse, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
So what have you been up to today? Have you had a good day?
Yeah, I've had a pretty good day. I had a lovely long sleep this morning, which is always a bonus.
Yeah. It is, yeah, of course, yeah.
Oh,
same
it.
As me sometimes.
I love it. Sleep is a real luxury for me now. Although I have to get up early doors to take my 7-year-old to school, but sometimes,
right.
I'm going to be honest, yeah. Nigel, sometimes underneath my jeans and jumper, I've still got my pyjamas on.
Oh, no.
But I'm not one of those mums who goes down there obviously in her pyjamas. Do you know what I mean? I've got some standards.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But apart from that, it's all groovy.
I've got quite a lot of aches and pains in my ribs too. When I straighten up, they hurt. But I've been doing a lot of housework, you know, hoovering.
It's very, very, very good exercise.
Yeah. It's good. It's
they
quite
tell
hard
me.
Work pushing the hoover, isn't it, for a long time?
I don't know. I haven't done it for such a long time.
I do it every day nearly.
Do
every
you?
Day. Yeah, almost every day.
I don't think you need to hoover every... Well, I don't know what you're up to, but...
Because you do get bit... I walk bits in from outside. You can easily walk little bits in on the carpet, can't you?
Ah, you're not a shoeless house, then? You don't leave your shoes at the front door?
Oh, no, I keep my... I change my trainers, but I do change my shoes, but I don't like to walk about with no shoes on.
Oh.
Anyway, hello?
Yeah, no, I'm just reeling at the... You don't like to have no shoes on. Is that a thing, or... Do you have slippers, or you just don't like the feeling of...
I just change my trainers into trainers, but I need to soak my feet quite more often because they get hot and sweaty in the trainers, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Take your shoes off and
let
them air a bit.
Yeah, I should wear some slippers, really.
Yeah.
It's your habit, really, I think.
Or go foot commando. There's my tip.
Yeah.
Air them off, those old cheeses.
You know, I was going to do you a song.
Yeah.
I was going to do Nigel's Time again, if I could. Nigel's Time, a cappella, but it is on YouTube, but I couldn't find it for you to. I couldn't find it on YouTube.
I'd rather hear it a cappella, if I'm honest.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Go on.
There is one called The Joker, but that's different. I can't remember the words at the moment to that because it's very difficult.
Well,
difficult song.
Let's give that one a swerve then.
Yeah, or would you rather have a Sinatra song, something like from Sinatra?
Do you know what, Nigel? Tonight, I'm not fussy.
Oh, I'm just wondering, see, My Way's too long, isn't it? My Way, that's a long song, My Way.
I don't know. Do you sing the whole lot or do you do the...
Well, I do sing a whole lot, but it's better with a backing. I'll do Nigel's Time because it's shorter.
Beautiful. I love that you let me in on your editorial decisions.
Yes. Oh, well, I've got something to mention.
Go on.
I might be on TV in a few weeks, the local TV station, because I was talking to the producer yesterday afternoon. I didn't mention it last night, so I forgot. So... the local KMTV, Catherine?
Yes.
KMTV.
What's KMTV?
Singing for 5 minutes on there, so not bad.
Hang on, what's KMTV?
It's a local Kent TV station.
Oh, hang on, let's have a look.
And I was talking to the producer, and I've rung up quite a few times now, so they've got sort of used to me. I've got to know them, really.
Yeah.
So, But they're fully booked at the moment for a few weeks and then they're going to fit me in. But I just have to be patient.
Yeah.
It's all down to patience, really, for TV.
You're
it?
Not ringing them every day and turning
no,
up at
no,
their offices
no.
and that?
No, I'm not bothering any of them or anything.
No,
but
of course
she's talking with details and stuff. And so hopefully I'll be able to maybe sing a Sinatra song with a backing tape, something like that. Or whatever.
Okay, so
Nigel's Time I could do, couldn't I? Because no one's heard that before on the TV.
Yeah, but that's about ringing up radio stations. A bit rude.
Oh, yeah, yes, of course, yeah.
Unless you modify the lyric so that it sounds like you mentioned, like, television, KMTV.
Do you know what?
They would love that.
I think I'd rather do a Sinatra song, really, something like My Way.
It's a people-pleaser, you know, people like that.
Well, whatever suits my voice, really, because I like to sing ballads.
Yeah,
I've always sung ballads.
Yeah,
Barry Manilow songs.
Yeah, don't sing Carrick Fergus though.
That's not really written for a man anyway, is it?
But I mean, you get away with it. It's beautiful your version. But I'd go for.
I mean, I sing it okay, but I can only harmonise with Charlotte Church. I can't sing the whole thing.
And they're not going to be able to get Charlotte Church, are they? She's a bit busy at the moment.
No.
Yeah. Go on then.
There are other songs that, I mean, there are other classical songs that I sing. I won't do it tonight. I'll do Nigel's Time now then.
All right.
So I'm a bit nervous. You know, I always get, but do you know, even Miley Cyrus said she gets nervous before she goes on stage?
I bet she does.
Yeah,
I think that sometimes.
And you wouldn't think so.
Well, I mean, she's been performing for donkey's years as well, even though she's very young and she's the daughter of a performer, obviously. But I think it shows that you care about it.
Yeah,
you want to do it the best you can.
Famous people get nervous, but whether they're going to muck up or whatever.
Yeah, you won't muck up. And if you do, you carry on, Nigel.
Singing live is always hardest, isn't it?
Yeah, but you do it a lot.
the TV. Yeah, I've done it for the BBC 6 times live on radio in the studio with James Well, you know. Have you met James Well quite a lot?
Yeah.
Been in the studio?
Too many times, to be honest, yeah.
Did he ever talk about me with you?
All the time. It's like, Nigel this, Nigel that. You can shut up about Nigel.
Yes, he let me in the studio about 6 times at Tunbridge Wells.
Did he?
So I'm very pleased about that. You know, it's I'm proud of myself to be been on in the studio 6 times.
Quite right too. It's quite something that. That's probably a record, you know, over at Tunbridge Wells.
Yes, it is. But because usually the groups only go on once, and then you don't hear of them anymore.
And they don't just let anyone in. And James Well is a very choosy man.
Yeah, but I mean, he was a good friend of mine as well. He's a good friend of mine as well. And it was Dave Cash was a friend of mine. We sadly lost a while ago, didn't we, Dave Cash?
Yeah.
I got to know him a couple of years ago before he, a year before he died, actually, I think it was. Yeah, lovely chap, wasn't he? Did you ever meet Dave Cash?
No, I don't know. But I'm willing to take your word for it. I'm sure he was a nice chap.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
I'll fire away.
It's 11:16. I'm going to do you a big intro, Nigel.
I'm very nervous. Right. I've been my best.
Let me give you a big build up. All right, a big build up. Ready, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Talk Radio. It's 11:17 and 3 seconds. You know what that means? Yeah, it's Nigel time. Go.
Tuning in, calling up. Talking to the nation, sing a song melody for your adoration. Late night phone-ins, I'm keeping you awake.
Apart from power.
It's our time to shine. Up all night, it's entertainment time. It's our time to sing another line. Oh, it's Nigel's time. Clouds are gone, sun is up. Up on your horizon, safe at home, back on the phone to my radio station. Late night phone-ins, I'm keeping you awake. It's our time to shine. Up all night, it's entertainment time. It's our time to sing another line. Oh, it's Nigel's time to call and make my point. Time to play and rock this joint. My life's exciting. I'm inviting you to listen for another day. It's our time to shine. Up all night, it's entertainment time. It's our time to sing another line. Oh, it's Nigel's. It's Nigel's time.
Beautiful. Well done, Nigel.
Yeah, I remembered the words. No, I didn't forget any words.
And there were a lot of words. Thanks very much,
there's
Nigel.
I to remember that middle chorus, changing keys and everything. And
well.
Anyway, I'm quite proud of it. I'm quite pleased with myself that I didn't forget the words.
You should be. It's always a good
but
one.
No, it proves that if I was on TV, I could probably do it as well, couldn't I?
Yeah, but I would change it from like phoning to.
No, I mean, if I sang any other song, I mean, I wouldn't be too nervous, would I, on TV?
No, you'd be all right.
I'd be all right. Because it's only like singing into my phone, isn't it, really?
Exactly. I think that you're a natural. You do a lot of YouTube and stuff.
Yeah, because I'm used to looking at the camera.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just work it, Nigel.
Catherine,
yeah.
I was just thinking, do you ever come down to Maidstone Way?
Nope.
No, you don't come down to Maidstone Way?
No, I don't think I've ever been to Maidstone.
So we won't get a chance to meet at the moment, then.
No.
I was going to take you for a coffee.
Oh, that's kind.
That'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I'd what shame is never going to happen. Bye, Nigel.
Okay, thanks, Catherine.
Bye. 03444991000. You're listening to Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Intelligent, organic entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Excuse me.
Oh, Dad.
Hello, I'm Martin Kellner.
And I'm his daughter, Ruthie.
We do a podcast. It's called Ruthie, Me and My Dad.
In which I tell him how he's wrong about most things.
And I explain to her who the Bee Gees were. It's on Acast and Apple Podcasts.
And all your favourite podcast providers.
It's a unique generation gap conversation between a baby boomer dad
and his Generation Z daughter.
That's Ruthie, Me and My Dad. Brand new episodes every Thursday.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Blimey, where have you lot been? We've got Andre, Alec, Sally and James. And it could be you after that. 0344 499 1000. Let's go. Let's do Andre. I kind of know how this is going to go, but here we go. Andre.
Oh, excuse me. Hi, Kath.
Gosh, what was that?
I think I had an accident.
Yeah.
Kath, there's a couple of things I've burped. Sorry, excuse me. Now, what I was going to say, Kath, yeah?
Yes.
Was there's two things I can do which I didn't think I could do anymore.
Ooh.
One is sing. I'm a good singer, yeah?
Well.
I know that's a lot of people said that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I know you haven't heard much of me singing.
I've heard a lot of you singing, singer. Yeah, but I'm not going to pass comment.
But I've absolutely got it live or, you know, in my house or something really to appreciate it. Or
you're all right. I'll do it from a distance if that's okay. So
yeah, that's right.
What's the other thing that you can't do that you realise, you can do that you realised more recently?
I didn't think I could drink for 10 years, yeah, but I found out that I can.
I know you've done extensive research. How long did it take you to work that one out?
No, I tested. I haven't drank for 10 years, but I had a pint. And I can do it.
Yeah.
It's quite nice. It weren't bad.
Yeah. Not a pint of water?
Just a drink. But I'm not going to make an habit of it.
Right. Well, it sounds like it's all under control.
No, it was just a swift one, yeah? And that was the lot.
Right.
But I realised I could if I wanted to, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
Anymore.
Make good choices, Andre.
Anyway, Kath. What else was I going to say to you?
Oh, that's the
aliens. Hang on, aliens. I can't remember. Well, around here in Essex, aliens can land anywhere. So there's a lot of open spaces, yeah? And we always thought that an alien might have landed at some time, so there's big holes in the ground and that, yeah, in some parts, but it's
right.
Not crop circles or nothing like that, but like big holes in the ground. And
what, like big potholes?
In the roads.
Quarries.
But in the fields, there was like a massive grey circle. Someone said a spaceship landed there like 10 years ago.
Yeah. You seen a lot of spaceships tonight?
Not tonight, no. Yeah.
Driven by pink elephants?
Elephants?
Yeah. Hi, Alec.
Hello, Catherine. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolute pleasure.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to you about... you know, true ghost stories.
Oh, go on. Because, yeah. Right, here's where I stand on the ghost story.
Yeah.
I don't really believe it, but I am willing to be convinced. So...
Neither did I until it happened.
Right.
And, you know, we were only at that house for 3 months and then we got out.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah.
Go on.
But, it was 1997. We moved to Presswood in the High Street.
Right.
And, I don't know, strange noises, strange things happen, but the ghost was good to me, but it didn't like my girlfriend at all. We'd be laying in bed on a Saturday morning, and I would make telephone calls and put the change on the side there, and we were in bed one Saturday morning, the whole money was up the hall. They'd picked it up and thrown it.
Hang on a minute. So you'd make... You were making telephone calls with change?
No. When I used to make a telephone call, I'd put the change on the side so that I knew I'd got money for the to pay the bill, you know?
Oh, right, okay.
Right. And all that change that accrued on there, one Saturday morning we were laying in bed, we were laughing and what have you, and all this change was picked up and thrown up the hall.
Oh, blimey. Did you see it happen?
No, but... I saw the jam and the pot of jam and the butter fly at the end of the, you know, on the work surface, thrown on the floor and the jam smashed and what have you.
Really?
Yeah. But when I was on my own, because I'm a photographer and an artist, it liked the dark room for some reason. It used to leave little stones in the dark room. I never used to see them appear. Polished stones and little round pebbles, they used to appear all the time. And my girlfriend used to say, Jan used to say, you know, what's this? I said, well, I don't know. It's just appeared there. And then a little gold chain, not real gold, appeared. And when I was sat down painting, I used to do oil paint and still do, I used to keep seeing black shadows out of the corner of my eye.
Ooh.
And anyway, this went on for about 2 months when we got a visit from a friend who lived down in Wales at the time. And anyway, he said to me on the phone after he'd gone home, have you seen that ghost lately? I said, no. He said, well, the bloody thing's here.
Stop it.
It honestly, that is a God's honest truth.
Had you told him about the ghost then while he was there?
Yeah. Well, he knew because, I mean, there was all strange little noises. It was a child. We found out in the end that a child had died there.
Oh, no.
I don't know, about 90 years before. But it was an old house, and the noises that used to happen in the night, and my girlfriend, you know, she just couldn't take it anymore, so we moved out after 3 months.
Yeah, see, this is the thing, right? You hear about people all the time who claim that their house is haunted. If my house started playing up like that, I'd be out. I couldn't stand it.
Well, I could take it because it didn't. It never bothered me.
Well, it was reassuring then, I guess, was it?
It liked me.
Yeah.
Because it used to leave me these little presents, stones, little flints and stuff like that, special little ones. But I never used to see them appear. And this is the God's honest truth. I'm not making this up. And as I say, and when the, as I said, that money was picked up and thrown all up the hall.
Yeah.
Jan couldn't take it anymore. She said, you know, she just got to get out of here. So we did after 3 months.
Gosh. So tell me about the jam incident.
Well, I was in the kitchen and Jan, I said, do you want something to eat? I was making her some toast and the jam just absolutely flew right the way along the work surface. And so did the butter, so did the knife, and so did all the bread and on the floor.
And you saw it? You saw it go?
I saw that, yeah. That was the only one that I did see. You know, but I used to be sit down, I'd be watching television or doing some painting, and I, out the corner of my eye, I kept seeing this black, like a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
But I never ever saw a ghost or anything like that. But
was it the sort of thing where you see it out the corner of your eye, but if you looked at it directly, you couldn't see it anymore?
That's right, exactly. That's exactly.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, I had that. Strangely, I hope you don't think I'm mad.
No, not at all. I think that you sound like it's true to you.
It is true. It is. But that black shadow thing, I had a cat that was very old and very close to me. And when he went, I kept seeing the same thing for a while.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, it disappeared completely. It really did go. It must have went with Des, my friend who sadly died. You know, he's dead now. But
yeah. He went to Wales.
It went to Wales with him. And his wife wouldn't speak to me, and she still don't speak to me to this day.
You're kidding me. So was it another one that he didn't like her, he liked him?
I don't know. He never told me. He just said that he had a ledge on a windowsill that was a bit dusty, and there was child's handprints on there.
Shut up!
Yeah.
That is so... Ugh.
But that's true. You know, that's a true story.
That's giving me goosebumps, that.
But, as I say, he was only there 3 months.
Well, this is the thing that convinces me, right? When people tell me stories about, oh, yeah, and there was a ghost and blah, blah, blah. No one leaves a house after 3 months unless there's something terribly, either terribly wrong with the house, physically terribly wrong with the house, Or there's a point to that, you know, that what you're saying
is
right.
I mean, it was a lovely house. It was fantastic. It had a shop at the front. There was literally 100 yards away, there was a little mini market. And you walked across the road, there was a park. Everything was there. I absolutely loved it. But, no, we had to get out. She couldn't take it, even though...
The ghost had gone to Wales?
Yeah, she thought it may find its way back again.
Gosh, so. Yeah. Well, that's fascinating. Thanks for telling me about that, Alec.
Okay.
Really interesting. I'll be thinking about those handprints for a long time.
Yeah, there was dust, you know, and he said... he took a photograph of them and sent me the picture, actually.
Oh, my God. Well, if you can dig it out, I'd love to see it.
Yeah. So...
It's very spooky. Thanks, Alec.
Okay. Thank you, Catherine.
Bye-bye. Bye. Hey, no problem. 03444991000. You know that my BS detector is absolutely on point these days. It wasn't going off there. 03444991000. Sally, what do you reckon?
I don't know. It was... I've got a good BS. I think I have, I don't know how I feel about ghosts. I think I'm a bit like you. I kind of want to know. We had some freaky things happening in our house when we were growing up. I think later on in life, I sort of put that down to my mum doing things around the house
to
manipulate us as children.
Oh, really? What, to try and frighten her into submission?
Yeah, and not leave her on her own in the house to not really have much of a childhood, I suppose, to go out with friends and things like that. So, that sounds depressing. But, I think the only person who's ever told me a ghost story that I completely believe is my granddad. Mm-hmm. He worked for the National Farmers Union, and he was in the canteen one day and chatting to a friend and that, and then they said their goodbyes and everything, and my granddad went and sat down with another colleague of his, and the colleague said, oh, by the way, did you hear so-and-so died?
No.
2 days ago.
No, not the bloke he'd been talking to.
Yeah. In the queue in the canteen. And my granddad straight up. My granddad, he's very sceptical. He doesn't, but he cannot explain that. And it's the only ghost story that I can actually 100% believe that he's telling the absolute truth.
Yeah. See, my mum's side of the family are quite spooky like that, and you know, tell me that they've had experiences. And you know, when your mum tells you a thing, well, apart from if your mum's pulling tricks, and it sounds like your mum did. I find it... See, when I was growing up, I kind of just took it completely as, of course there are ghosts. My mum's seen one. My grandma's seen one. You know, they're a bit spooky. But now the older and more cynical me thinks, there's always an explanation. And I kind of reach for that before I believe it. Although I remember once I woke up in the middle of the night because there'd been... Do you remember when there was like a spate of earthquakes? The weirdest thing.
Yeah.
There was an earthquake and it shook me awake in my bed at night. It was probably... I was before I had kids, so I reckon probably about 2004.
Yeah.
When did I get married? 2006. So it might have been 2007. And it shook me awake and my first thought was, poltergeist. Which is stupid, right? But it's that moment between waking and sleeping, you know, when you kind of... And I think, you know, a lot of people, when they tell you a ghost story, it's that moment that they see things, you know? So I think there is definitely a primeval thing there that you'll accept something supernatural before you can talk yourself out of it. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. But I did experience a few things in the house. The house I live in still.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah, which I can't explain. Things moving, coming home and all the lights were on and the record player was on and the TV and things like that. But I think the freakiest thing that's happened to me recently was my nan passed away 4 years ago this year.
Yeah.
And about 2 weeks after she passed, the kids were off and I went into the kitchen, and as I walked back into the living room, there was a picture of her in the middle of the living room floor.
No.
And I can't. And my living room's quite large, so it's not like it fell off somewhere.
Yeah. Or someone had brushed past it.
Yeah, it wasn't in a frame or anything. It was just a photo, you know, and it was just in the middle of the living room floor. And I found comfort in it.
Yeah.
Because I felt like, you know, maybe she's sort of sending me a message. But then I feel stupid for thinking that because,
yeah,
you know, I'm a bit sceptical. But anyway.
I know what you mean. I remember my grandma and my auntie for ages, they've been on the gin, telling me the story that they'd been talking to this bright light in the room for ages after my granddad passed before they realised that it was just the way that the light was shining on the silver coasters that my grandma had. And they've been doing this whole thing of, if that's you, Bert, can you just move around a bit more? And of course, you know, as they were moving, whatever, the watch or whatever that was catching it.
Yeah.
But, do you know what? If it gives you comfort, fair enough. But I kind of looked for a logical explanation and taught myself out of stuff. Whereas before, probably when I was a teenager and younger, I would have gone, yeah, definitely, you know, proof.
Yeah.
I remember when I was really little, my nana died. She's my great-grandma. And I can't have been very old, probably 5 or 6. But I do remember that I woke up from a dream where she'd been saying goodbye, and that's when my mum told me that she died. I remember that really vividly because I said to my mum that Nana said goodbye to me, and it was later on when we were talking. And this again sounds like bullshit because this is the sort of story everyone's got, haven't they? But saying that she was standing at her window in the old people's home and she was wearing a light green dress, and my mum said, "Oh, that's what, we buried her in a light green dress." Coincidence or am I making that, you know, am I making that up from different things that happened? You know, I was very, very little, but that's one of a really powerful memory I have from that time. And that was my first kind of family bereavement. So, odd. And, you know, they say kids are more, you know, because they're probably more accepting of things like that. But that's the thing. But so how I became to be so kind of cynical and, you know, no nonsense about stuff normally, I don't know. Oh, actually, I do know. I went to see a psychic. I've told you this story, haven't I? I went to see the psychic. My mother-in-law really believed in that stuff. We went to see Colin Fry at the theatre, and, you know, she completely believed it. And I just went to sort of watch what happened as a sort of entertainment and curiosity. And at that time, the Living Channel was doing a lot of like Most Haunted and mediumship.
Yeah, I loved that.
Oh, I loved it too. After a while, I think Twitter killed that show.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching a Most Haunted live. I think Jamie East was doing the sideshow and people were just taking the mickey all the way through on Twitter. I think it was the one where there was a clock at the top of the stairs and the camera kept going back to it and you were thinking, right, well, the clock's going to go at some point. You know, after you watched a few of them, you knew there was a kind of formula in place. Or maybe I'm being cynical. Maybe, you know, maybe the ghost knew that was what we were expecting, you know, the spoon to fly through the air from camera side. And then this clock was to go, or a knife disappeared. But within like 2 seconds of these sort of cues of, oh, look, there's a clock. Let's keep looking at that. The clock got its own Twitter handle and started saying 2 hours to midnight, to my big moment. Anyway, so I used to love it, and I still kind of love it too, but it's a different watch now. But yeah, so I went with my mother-in-law to see this thing, and she said, oh, in a couple of weeks, we're going to see a medium who's coming to, you know, when they go to people's houses and you go over there and they're sort of being hosted by people, friends of friends.
Yeah.
So it was that kind of scenario. And I just had my eldest. So she was with me and I was breastfeeding her downstairs. This is how obvious it was that I'd just had a baby, okay? And also, I don't think I did my top up properly. It was all like, all the buttons were all screwed.
Not again.
Yeah. I mean, they were lucky that if my boobs were in at that point, to be honest, they'd just become kind of big old milkers and no sensitivity whatsoever. You know, I go to the door when the postman came and he'd get an eyeful. That's probably why he's very good with my parcels these days. Anyway, so I was downstairs. My mother-in-law went in, then my sister-in-law went in, and then I went in. And there was this big deal about, they're really thrilled about the new baby. You know, there's been a big celebration. And then they started telling me, this woman started telling me other stories about this family member that had recently passed. And she's my grandmother and blah, blah, blah. And I realised what she was telling me was the story that they'd quite clearly told them about their side of the family. It wasn't my grandmother that died. My grandmas were still alive. But she'd obviously sort of managed to, I get the feeling that they were so willing to have their story told, that they'd told her everything, basically. Anyway, so she started giving me all that, and I just thought, This is bullshine. She's taking money off people who are grieving and really want some direction.
Yeah.
I'm out. And that kind of put me off completely.
Yeah. My daughter recently got into tarot cards. So I picked it up too. And I've got a pack and everything, and we've been playing around and all that. But it's just rubbish, because you can, those cards, you can, there's so many different stories related to the cards that you can just make anything fit.
You can read into it what you know is happening.
Yeah, exactly.
When we went to New York, Imani read my cards and she said a couple of things, and afterwards it really kind of preyed on my mind. So I thought, God, that's quite true. And then I thought about it logically and went, nah, that's true for everyone.
It's like the cards, you can just, you know, you can work it and around, you know, different things, and there's different, it's hard to explain.
No,
but
I'll tell you what she showed me, like, it was something like the Seven of Swords or something.
Yeah.
And she said that it was, or something where someone was stealing a sword, and she said it was someone was deceiving me.
Yeah.
And of course, someone's deceiving you all the time. You know, most of the time you won't find out. But what it does is it sows a seed, and you wait for a thing to happen that confirms that, if that's what you believe in, you know?
So, yeah, but again, the Seven of Swords, the Seven of Swords can also mean other things.
Yeah.
It depends on what the other cards around it are saying.
Yeah.
So you can make it sound like someone's, you know, if you've got like the Three of Swords, which is supposed to be like heartbreak, and the Seven of Swords comes up, you can say, oh, well, you know, they messed around behind your back and it was, and all that. But if you get another card, you can say, oh, well, it's a good card for this reason and that reason, you know.
Exactly. And I'm guessing that these things aren't time specific. So anyone who's over the age of, say, 30 has had someone mess around on them or tell them a lie that they found out about afterwards, you know, and made them feel like an idiot. Doesn't mean that the, you know, spirits are guiding stuff. I don't know. I think if it gives you comfort, I just don't like the fact that some people are making money out of vulnerable. You know, vulnerable feelings. I don't think people generally go for a reading unless they're in a position in life where they really want guidance and they haven't got it elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you go online and you watch, you know, the tarot readings on YouTube, and it's all full of, you know, you're not speaking to the person and they've cheated on you or you've just broken up. And then it also, the other thing that I find weird about the tarot readings online, there's this thing called divine feminine and divine masculine.
Right.
And you're having an affair with a married man or something like that, or you're having an affair with a married woman, they're like telling you that that's fine because he's your divine masculine. You were born together and you're meant to be together. And I find that really sort of strange. And they always talk about the wife being like a karmic, she's not good for him, you know, and it's all very sort of, which to me is, you know, you think tarot is sort of quite a loving spiritual thing, and to me that just sounds a bit bitchy.
I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Oh, Sally, it's always nice talking to you. I'm gonna have to go because apparently I've missed a break already and I've got to pull my socks up. But it's always a good chat with you. Thanks very much for ringing.
Bye.
0344 499 1000. We've got James on the other side of this break. And then you, if you fancy it, 0344 499 1000. We'll talk about anything, as we've just demonstrated.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.